Hey, this is Kari Payton. I'm Cyborg from Teen Titans and Injustice and Injustice 2. And you're listening to The Night Nerd. So keep listening. Booyah!
Welcome to The Night Nerd Podcast. I'm your host, Lance. It's Wednesday, so we're going to talk some comic books. Last week, we saw the launch of the Samsung Note 8. This Friday sees the iPhone 8 come out from Apple. And yeah, this is a big tech war. A lot of stuff going on in that. So I thought it'd be really interesting to see some of the big clashes in pop culture. You know, Monday we talked about Xbox and PlayStation. Yesterday we talked about filming on digital versus filming on film. And today, another topic that is near and dear to my heart and cause of rage is digital comics versus print comics. And I am really, really, really lucky to have Robert from Star Comics here. Robert, how are you doing today,
sir? I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
I always love having you on the show. You always give us some great insights and let us know, you know, things that, as we say, peek behind the curtain.
Sure.
And see what's going on. So I guess we'll just kind of start with a little bit of history of digital comics. It's something that in the last decade has really risen to prominence with smartphones and tablets and e-readers
and
everything.
Yeah, as far as being able to use print comics in a digital format, web comics have been around for a while, and I think that would be some of the early origins of mainly just artists and writers being able to put their product out to a really large audience. I guess you were, so you're wanting to clarify, you're talking specifically about print comics made into digital formats?
Correct, yeah. Okay. We want, yeah, not like not Penny Arcade and PvP and all those, but more like Comixology and Kindle readers
so,
and things
so,
like that.
So then let me ask, so I'm going to interview you. Let me ask you, how do you feel about digital first content from major publishers?
I'm just going on the record here and say that I'm not a fan of digital. Well, I'll get to it later, but for the most part, not a fan of digital. Like the Injustice comic was digital first and then collected later. And if I could have the digital without having the rest of the internet, it might be okay. But by the time it went from digital to print, the plot and story and everything is out there. So especially if it's somebody trying to do a big event, I guess if it's worth reading, you know, it's not good to have. But, you know, if it's a fun little series, like I know Marvel has their Iron Fists, plural, going on. The new Injustice, though, isn't digital first. It's print first, if I remember right, Injustice 2.
That one I'm not certain. I always assumed that all the Injustices were digital first, along with, like, the DC Bombshells and a few other smaller projects. Okay, I stepped on your format, I'll let you start it.
No, then that's, you know, the digital first, you know, I think that's a good format for like an issue zero or Alpha Omegas, things like that, where it complements the story, but it's not required reading. I mean, if I had to play devil's advocate and find some good in it, I think that would be something. What about you? You know, obviously you have an interest in the digital first there, so what?
So I'll play devil's advocate as well, and I don't really have a problem with legitimate digital comics. I appreciate unique material for the digital market. I would prefer, I like the digital first concept of having unique material for the digital marketplace and then provide the print marketplace an option to purchase it, because there are still people who prefer that format. And so it's just providing variety. What I have a problem with, and what I think the origins of the digital comic are, were people scanning comics for free on the internet, which is still to this day problematic. And unlike the music industry, unlike the movie industry, the comic book industry is not large enough to sustain the amount of material that gets out in the world for free for all the people that do not get paid for that content, all the people that lose money for that content, the however many readers that exist that read that stuff for free on a regular basis. and reap the rewards and benefits, the enjoyment and the entertainment that they get from it, and yet there still doesn't seem to be a way to cut that off. And I think that digital comics were just an answer by the major publishers to combat that, and obviously the digital world exists. They wanted to reach their audience digitally, so that's, you know, 1 million-plus readers versus 10,000-plus readers, and I think that that's great for them as long as all of the creators are getting paid. But unfortunately, in the digital world, it's kind of created this sense of entitlement that it should be free, and if it's not, why should they pay for it?
Right.
And that includes the digital format. So there's going to be... Comixology can be a pet peeve for you, and it's fine if it is. But my biggest pet peeve is, how can we cut off the idea that if it's a comic book and it's digital, that you are entitled to have it for free? That's what I'm trying to cut off.
Yeah, that's you and I have talked a few times off mic about that problem, and how, you know, just where comics are, it's, like you mentioned, you know, it's just hard to curtail all of that. And the worst part of it is just like with music industry, movie industry is usually external, but comic industry is usually an internal leak.
Somebody very much so. And it's so obvious, because, you know, those of us that know how it works, by the time these scans get up in the details that they are available, you know it's from inside the industry, which makes it even more frustrating. It's somebody at the distribution level, it's somebody at the retail level, in some cases, it may even be somebody at the publishing level, which is just mind-boggling to me. And it's all for bragging rights, and I don't know, it's infuriating to me, and that is not even as a retailer. That is somebody who just has to think about, what if I created something and I wanted to get it out to the world, and now I have zero control over the how it's consumed. I would find that frustrating and intolerable as a creator.
I'm gonna flip this script. You know, we talked about digital first,
mm-hmm.
But then you have products like the Marvel Comics Unlimited, which is on a 6-month
sure.
delayed schedule. So kind of the exact opposite, but it does open up, you know, people who maybe didn't want to read all the Secret Empire tie-ins and things like that. As far as that goes, being on the back end of it, how do you think that affects things?
I think that hurts the retail industry. I don't think that it hurts the publishing industry that much. My concern goes back to the creators. Are the creators getting paid for that extra content? And it's not that they need to be paid for every single dime, but they are doing the work, and most of them are still just getting upfront page rate for everything that they do. That would be my only concern for all of those systems. But I know that extends to Netflix and Hulu and all those kind of, the digital viewing model in general has that same giant question mark. The difference, and well, no, I can't say the difference. What I do know is that Marvel and DC rarely, if ever, have released their digital sales results. There is not a monetary number. There's not a dollar sign that we can say this is how much they sell in digital comics every week, month, or even annually. That is something that has always remained somewhat secret.
More of that imaginary money. And the last thing before we move on, you know, we talked about digital first, digital last, day and date digital. Like, Marvel recently went back, and DC on their higher price books, where they have the digital code in there. Mm-hmm. I guess I can see, you know, okay, yeah, I have Metal number 1, the 1 in 100 special variant, this, that, so I'm not going to want to read it. I'm going to put it up in my little vacuum sealed bag, and I'm going to use this code to read it.
Sure.
That's really the only time I can see the practicality of that.
Well, or if you're on the move, you want to put your codes in on your phone or your tablet. You're at work that day. You're not going to take your stack of comics up, and maybe on your lunch break be able to read it on the tap. I'm generally okay with it. I mean, I attribute it same to the digital code that comes in your DVD, Blu-ray. You know, how often do people use that? And sometimes people just use exclusively that, and then they resell the DVD. That's fine. Everybody got their money at the end of the day for that particular purchase. I don't think that it's an added bonus to me, but I do know some readers and some customers that do prefer that. They love having the physical format, and they like the option to be able to read it digitally. I know other people that love the physical format and will sell the digital code for 50 cents or 99 cents or whatever. That's usually done online as well. It's not my favorite, but I do get it.
Yeah.
I personally don't read digital comics, but when I have in the past, I don't mind the format. I don't mind how it, some people complain how it leads you to read, you know, panel to panel, and how it works, and the eyes meant to be drawn to the whole page, and I agree and disagree with it. I mean, I yes, I get it, but at the same time, I also think that everybody kind of reads differently. Speed readers are really used to looking at the whole page in context, reading things somewhat out of order, but then gathering the entire thing together. And then some of us, unfortunately, are not as talented, and we read every single word left to right.
Oh, the few things I have read digitally, yeah, I have to do. They have to connect the dots for me better. Like, oh, I do think it is kind of cool how it usually has the first issue of a new trade or an old trade or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
That the, I mean, I know it's something they're pushing and trying to get on you, but you get a little more value there. But also the collector, I guess the 90s collector in me is, well, if you peel that sticker off, it's not mint anymore. But
I'd love to get rid of the 90s collector. I wouldn't like to get rid of you. I like you a lot, but I would like to get rid of the mentality of, man, if you want to keep your stuff pristine, I am all for it. Please do. But I'm also all on board for somebody who wants to just read their comic, roll it up, put it in their back pocket, or give it to their neighbor and say, well, I was done with this group of comics. I wanted to share it with somebody. I'm for both. Mm-hmm. It's what you get out of it. How it works for you is how I want you to enjoy comics. I am going to be the last person to tell you how you should enjoy comics. Right.
And, I mean, like I said, that was my 90s mentality. Now, especially now with kids, actually, there's a stack of comics next to you that I have to go to your store and rebuy because someone decided to spill some juice on them. So,
it happens.
Yeah, but, and you know.
And that's okay. I mean, if that's how you consume it, that's how you need to, that's great. And others, if it's like they on purpose spill juice on all their comics as part of their ritual.
I love this book. Here's some juice.
Here's some juice for this book. Then let that be the ritual. Yeah. And I'm glad it made them happy. That's the whole point of being entertained.
I guess the only time that I see a viable, okay, I will submit and buy a digital comic is... because there's a lot of older stuff that hasn't been printed in trades.
Sure.
And the single issues are in the hundreds of dollars a pop.
Sure.
But I want to go back and read, like, that is a good avenue. You know, I can justify that for digital comics.
Yeah.
Because if it's, okay, I can track this copy down and it's going to cost me $600 or I can pay $2. But as far, you know, I am in with books too. And that's another argument, but I like to hold it. I like to turn the pages. I like to see it. I have a Comixology account because it came with some Amazon stuff I got.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's every book I have in there is a book that I already own because, and this is again something I would like to do, like you mentioned sharing with the neighbors, is when we have a real studio, I'd like to have a big tablet in here that all these books that I have and love and 99.9% of them bought at your store. I want to have a digital copy so that people, you know, can sit here and freshen up.
Oh,
you know,
sure.
If we're going to talk about something like in those situations, I understand it. But again, it's like Mark Waid's run on Fantastic Four. I have all of them.
Yeah.
But a little hard to find in trade, or a little pricey for an omnibus, or things like that. So
what is your opposition to digital? What is it about it that bothers you so much?
You're gonna shake your head at this, but it in my mind it takes people out of your store.
No, wait, I'm not shaking my head at that.
I mean, agree. You know, I have enough loyalty to mom and pop shop local places. You know, the LCS is a tradition. We've talked extensively off mic about, you know, big boxes and things like that actually going away, and I feel like the local comic shop is a place that needs to exist. And whether I want to go in there and complain about Wolverine, you know, oh, old man Logan's not the real Wolverine, or if I want to say, oh, you know, that stuff is too sexy for my kid to read, you know, just a place that you can go and talk. And it's the same way, like, I don't even legally download music, because I want people to get out their butts, go to a concert, support a band, buy the record there.
Sure.
And that's just my mentality.
And that's a passion, and it's good to have that vocal passion, you know, like, this is how I like to absorb and consume my entertainment, and I'd love to share that with others and tell you that I think that that's the better way to go. It's a more immersive experience, and, you know, a lot of people, hey, they're shut-ins. And I'm not even saying that derogatory. It's... They don't get out of the house much. Some people live in towns where they don't have access to a comic book store. Some people don't like to do mail order. I don't blame or argue with any of those arguments. My number one problem with digital comics as they exist today is that if we could somehow eliminate the idea or sense that because it's a comic and because it's digital, it should be free to all. That is the one thing, if I could do anything about it, that I would like to try to get rid of. And that's going to, you know, the music industry has their same thing, and the movie industry has their same thing. And the music industry's big problem, I mean, now we see the surge of vinyl. And the surge of vinyl has to do with the idea of somebody championing you need the physical, it sounds better, it looks better, it's tactile. This is the way I absorb it, and I love it, and I'd like you to as well. Something where you're saying, you know, I love going to concerts. I like for you to buy from the bands. That is a great message and should continue. But then there are some people who that's just not how they absorb their entertainment. And I'm okay with that.
And well, and even to that extent, I only in the last, I guess, few months found out that you can still go digital and support your local comic shop. Because I know you guys do some things.
We have a digital portal, and it was something that Comixology allowed in its very early days. When Comixology first started, they didn't really know what they were doing. They were a small upstart company, and they cold called every comic book store in the country one by one, just to kind of give this whole idea. And man, they had a lot of doors slammed in their faces as a result of it. And the concept being, so you want me to give you my readers for free. So when they got that feedback, they started this program where they were like, well, no, we don't want your readers for free. We'll give you a little bit. We'll give you a cut, so to speak. We'll give you a percentage. You're giving us access to your readers. You work so hard to gain those customers, and we just think that we're an alternative. We're an alternative source of comics that they cannot get from you, so... we'll give you a percentage. So we were kind of grandfathered into that program. That program doesn't exist, unfortunately, for new stores. But it's because we were there when Comixology first started. And we were one of the shops that didn't slam the door in their face. After Amazon bought them, there are no options for local businesses to do that anymore. But Star does have a digital portal. So you can go to a digital portal through Star, buy your Comixologies, and we'll actually get a very small percentage. But it's kind of like those little, you know, you hear on podcasts all the time, the little click on Amazon. If you buy anything from Amazon, we're not telling you to, but if you do it through our portal.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of what Comixology did for us for a time.
Yeah, and get back to the music. It's like, oh, yeah, if you play, I know bands, you know, I'll send them a video of their song playing on one of those digital jukeboxes, you know, that a lot of, and they're like, yeah, we get 0.00001 of a penny, but hey, if we get everybody to play the song on loop all night,
yeah,
we can go to McDonald's. But it's, you know, it's something. And I just, we talked, or I talked yesterday when I was talking about digital film and celluloid film, that everyone keeps saying it was the wave of the future. I mean, George Lucas said that in the 70s, and it's still not true today. And I think digital comics are the same way, because you get the stubborn people like me who, you know, it's not the wave of the future, but like you said, I think it's a good alternate, you know, it's something, a different approach that they can do, but I don't see it being the way to go.
Well, for some creators, take a Chris Ware, for example. I don't think you could actually make a Chris Ware digital comic. The artistry that goes into all the projects that he makes is meant to be tactile. So, I mean, different artists, just like different musicians and different filmmakers, can really approach their concept and their idea with print in mind. Or you take digital, you take web comics like we talked about earlier. They specifically have the internet in mind when they make their comic, and print is a complete afterthought, and usually something most of them don't do at all, or some of them will print them themselves and then sell them either through their website or at shows. Mm-hmm. They're not trying to get them into comic shops like mine. They're trying to get it straight to their audience, which I don't blame them for that either. So, I mean, even as a retailer, I'm not going to go in there and say, how dare you take something that you made with your own hands and paid for with your own money and try to leave me out of it. But then you start talking about the big guys, Marvel, DC, people who pretty much built their backs off of the local comic book shop for the past three decades. And yeah, there's a lot of fighting, of ideas there, that I can agree and disagree with on both sides.
I don't know. All this week, you know, I'm tripping over words here because I'm trying to find a way to say that I don't hate it, even though I know I probably sound like, you know, I'm going to grab my pitchforks and torches and go to Comixology's front door, but it's not that I hate them. I think if they were utilized correctly, like back to the Injustice, if Injustice was published in print first, and then like the Harley Quinn story that's going on right now, that's a background story, mm-hmm. and all, you know, that you put that digitally, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah,
you know, something that, you know, a very small
or a very specific audience, because mm-hmm. for those types of things, they knew they were going after the video game market. Mm-hmm. That's particularly the market they were shooting for. So, adding a digital code inside of a game box or in association with a game that somebody downloaded, I completely understand that. Yeah. And they do make print versions of them, and believe it or not, the print versions of most of those books do well. I mean, if it's a product that people are interested in, everybody's going to consume it to their own personal taste. Some people like having a box of comics, and some people don't.
Some people's wives don't like having a box of comics. But, you know, it's good. Like I said, I wanted to bring you on here to kind of see what you thought, and you know, gave us some great insight as far as to what is there, you know, why it's there, the pros and cons, the ups and downs of it all. And I'm still a print person.
But. And that's great. And that's great. And you should be. And for the person that says, no, man, I really have to do this digitally, it's the only way that I can get it, it's the best way that I can read it, then, I mean, who am I to say, no, that's a terrible idea, you're wrong. They're not. The only people that are wrong are the people that take this stuff for free. I'm sorry, I have to call them out. And I know there are a lot of them out there. I know a lot of them personally, but you are hurting this industry. You are hurting the progress of this industry. And you are reaping the benefits and the rewards and the hard work of so many people. And you are not just harming nameless, faceless companies and corporations. You are hurting your favorite writers. You are hurting your favorite artists. You are hurting your local comic shop. You are hurting a lot of people along the way. And I know you want to read all your Marvel and your DC, but man, you are not entitled to it if you didn't pay for it. I'm sorry.
I couldn't have said it better. You know, I guess the moral of the show today is read comics legally. Pay for them. Whether you do it digitally or in store, pay for them, because
It's the only way the industry grows.
Yeah.
And for here's the other funny thing. Most of the people that read them for free bitch about them the most.
It's like
voting.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to complain about it, that's great, but you better be buying them if you complain.
Yeah. People wouldn't walk in and steal produce because they're like, oh no, there's a farmer and a shipper and this and this and this. I mean, there are people, but not near the masses that do. And it's the same way. It affects dozens, if not hundreds of people when you download that scan, that PDF. Yeah, so if you have to read digital, again, I'm not supporting digital, but if you have to read digital, pay for it. Go through...
Throw through a store portal, that'd be great. But otherwise, you know, go through the individual's website if they're selling it there. Go through the publisher's website if they're using a third party like Comixology. Absolutely, because then people finally get paid. And the industry can grow, and we can actually see what works by dollars and cents, not just by internet conversation. Mm. Because the two don't always equate. There's a lot of complaints about certain projects on the internet that don't match what the actual sales numbers are. And that right there is evidence alone that a lot of people are consuming this product without paying for it. And I don't see how the industry can get better, even for those people who want it to get better, and they use the excuse that it's not good enough and that's why they read it for free, that it's just not good enough right now, but they'll still read it. But they wouldn't pay for it because they don't like it. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's a music argument. They used to do that with music as well. They're like, well, I have to get it for free because how do I know what I want to pay for?
Well, and that's why go to your local comic shop and say, hey, does this book suck?
Yeah, go to your LCS. Why don't you talk to friends who read comics, and some of them might pay for them. And you know what? Some of the more generous ones might let you borrow a book or two.
Yeah.
Some of them might make some recommendations for you.
And, I mean, your shop's always been great about that. You know, I'll have something, and you'll be like, oh, you know, I think you'll like that, or no. And I'll always tell people, you know, like, I bought the Cage miniseries from, the Samurai Jack guy,
Samurai Jack guy.
Yeah, that guy, yeah. And it was god-awful, but I bought all four issues because the first issue was, second issue was pretty bad, third issue was terrible, but there's only one more issue after that, so 90s mentality, gotta have them all.
Well, and I thought that was a fun book, and it was interesting,
yeah,
to say the least.
I mean, Dr. Seuss was the bad guy, I think that's what made me mad. But that's, yeah, whole nother, it wasn't a decade's worth of weight good,
yeah.
I think. But yeah, you know, I'll tell you, listen to podcasts, go to your local comic shop, ask a friend. Just go out there and do legal, paid-for research. I mean, it's free to walk into a comic... I mean, every comic shop I've ever been to all across the country, they don't charge a cover to walk in the door.
No.
So,
no, and it's free to browse. It's never free to read. That's rude, too. But
yeah.
It's always free to browse. And browsing, it takes... I mean, come on. These people read comics. It takes 2-3 pages before you know. You can hit the middle of a book. You can know if you like the art style. You can know if you like the writing. Browsing is free, too. There's never any problem with that. But, yeah, that's a different podcast.
We have lots of different podcasts. Y'all have no idea. So, well, I think that's a good stopping point here. Robert, thank you again so much for being on the show.
Sure,
we love having you.
Thanks for having me.
If people want to check out your store and your portal, things like that, what's the best way for them to...
The best way to check out the portal, our Facebook page, which is Star Comics online at Facebook. That one will, on Fridays, you'll see some specials and stuff. And if you hit that link, you just save that link. And off the top of my... Because that link actually changes. Comixology does not make it easy for us to have that portal. And that's not a problem. I'm not complaining. I'm just saying it's not easy to keep that portal active. So you can usually access it through our Facebook page on Friday posts. And then you can go to our store at 2014 34th Street in Lubbock, Texas, in between Avenues U and T.
Nice, yeah. Lots of good stuff. And... While we have Robert here, I do get to talk about and say we're really excited. We're doing an event. We're hosting an event for Star Comics. They're having their 40th anniversary kickoff party. We're going to celebrate all the month of October, but kicking off is going to be September 30th at the Freaky Tiki Tavern here in Lubbock at 2512 Texas Avenue. Derek from Blah Blah and I are going to be hosting. We're going to be doing trivia, budget cosplay, which is not expensive cosplay. If you are the orange sticky note thing, we would love that. If you're whatever, we're really looking forward to it. Going to have a lot of fun. It's going to start at 7, go till
the event whenever. The event stuff goes till 9, right?
Yes.
But we will still be there afterwards.
We have stuff planned till 9, but we always have backups if we need to keep going.
And then that gives you and Derek a chance to now sit back and enjoy the festivities.
It's going to be a lot of fun. So even if you're not in Lubbock, come down, check it out. It's going to be a lot of fun. Before you go to it, go buy Star and check out some stuff. Find out what's good. Find out what's bad.
It'll be a good night to talk about comics.
It will be all sorts of good stuff. If you want to check us out, we're on iTunes, Google Play, and SoundCloud at Stitcher, pretty much any podcasting platform. Make sure to like, comment, share, subscribe, leave us good reviews. That helps us, that helps you. It's win-win for everybody. Also, make sure you're checking out the other shows on the network. We have Blah Blah Comics, Blah Blah Curse Words, our weekly show where Derek and Colby basically just sit around and talk about Grant Morrison for 2 hours, but there's other things that go on there. And we have our monthly show, Family Sounds, which we just had our latest episode a couple of weeks ago, so make sure you go check that out. It's a lot of fun. If you want to talk to me directly, you can email me, thenightnerd@outlook.com, or just nightnerd@thenightnerd.com. Again, I'm Lance. Thank you all so very much for listening, and we will see you tomorrow.
Technology.
Thank you, technology.
Technology.
Thank you, technology.
Technology.
Thank you, technology.
Technology.
Thank you, technology. I'm on a first name basis with my microwave. Isn't that right, Dave?